Hi, this is Herb Cox of the Cleftones, and you're listening to my good buddy Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Hey, Mike, John Mathis.
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm okay, thanks. It's Johnny Mathis, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, this is Lloyd Price, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi everyone, this is Mike Miller from the Harmony Street Show. I'd like to invite you to come along with us on the Malt Shop Memories Cruise. 7 nights and 8 days, October 27th through November 3rd, 2012. Return with us to those great days. Along with us will be Dion.
I wonder why I love you like I do. Is it because I think you love me too?
Frankie Avalon.
Venus. Please send a little girl for me to thrill. A girl who wants my kisses and my arms. A girl with all the charms of you.
Bobby Rydell.
Oh, wild one, I'm gonna tame you down now.
Tame you down.
Ronnie Spector. Darlene Love.
Today I met the boy I'm gonna marry. He's all I've wanted all my life and even more.
The Original Drifters.
Dance with me. Oh, hold me closer. Closer and closer. Much closer. While the music swings. Oh, my little darling, won't you dance with me?
The Dupree's.
Why? Don't you believe me? It's you I adore.
Sonny Turner, the former lead singer of the Platters.
With this ring, I promise I'll always love you, always love you.
The Fabulous Carl Gardner's Coasters.
Don't go back.
Kenny Vance and the Planetones.
Girl in my dreams, where are you?
The Chiffons.
He's so fine. Wish he were mine.
The Times.
Then your lips cling to mine. It's wonderful, wonderful.
The Marvelettes.
My baby must be a magician. Coffee shoe.
John Cuse and the Excellence.
You're my Coney Island baby. Means so much to me. You're my pretty little lady.
And many, many more of our favorite stars singing our favorite tunes. The host for the evening will be the Geeter with the Heater, Mr. Jerry Blavitt. Cruise on Holland America from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Turks and Caicos. San Juan, Puerto Rico, St. Thomas, and Half Moon Cay. Come along with us. Relive the magical malt shop days. Sail with the stars and bring back those great memories. Malt Shop Memories, for a lifetime of memories, call 877-700-MALT. That's 877-700-6258. Or visit www.maltshopcruise.com. MaltShopCruise.com. Better sign up now. The Malt Shop Memories Cruise is selling out fast, so you better hurry. Don't miss the boat. Hi, this is Mike Miller, and you're here with me on the Harmony Street Show, and it's my pleasure to have as my guest the Geeter with the Heater, the Boss with the Hot Sauce, and entertainment icon, Mr. Jerry Blavitt. How you doing, Jerry?
Michael, my man, pots and pans, to hear your voice, I want to tell your audience one thing. Don't be ashamed. Mention my man Michael's name. Don't holler. It ain't going to cost you a dollar. Pleasure to be on your show, Michael.
Absolutely. Well, let's get right down to it. You were born in Philly, which is a place that produced so much talent in this country. How was it growing up in Philly?
Well, you know, I have written a book, Michael, called You Only Rock Once.
Right.
And it is not only about my life in music, but it's about America when America was young, growing up in a neighborhood. You talk about how it was growing up. Well, I was basically raised by the nuns. My father was a Jewish racketeer, which you can read in the book, who ran into a...
Right, movie. I heard that.
You know, and my mother was an Italian, and she was 16 and he was 21 or something like that, back in 1937. And she wound up marrying this guy, okay? And back in those days, in the 30s, if you married out of your religion, as you know, you were an outcast.
Right. On both sides. On both sides, yeah.
It was a whole different world back then. And I was raised by the nuns. But the one thing in the neighborhoods we always had, you always had music. You always had people who were watching over people. And I, as a kid, always went to radio. I mean, I can remember listening to the radio serials, The Lone Ranger, Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. And one of my all-time favorites was a radio program called Straight Arrow, which was about a Comanche who was a rancher who would ride into the cave if there's any problem between the Native American Indian and the white. And he would come out on this magnificent Palomino horse called Fury. And he would say, Kaniwa Fury. And it just tweaked my imagination. And I wanted to learn about the Native American Indian, the freedom that they had.
Wow.
And I used to buy all the comic books. You remember the comic books?
Sure. Do I remember, of course.
But, you know, there's a difference between classic comic books and the other comic books.
Right.
You know, Batman and Captain Marvel. And
well, the classic comics I used to buy when I had a book report.
Yeah, classic comic books. And I would buy everything about the Native American Indian. I would buy The Last of the Mohicans, The Deer Slayer, Pathfinder. And I envisioned the freedom that they had.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, I started to listen to music. I was in camp when I was 9 years old. And
right.
They gave me a little radio transistor. And when the other kids were sleeping in the bunk bed, like 12 o'clock at night, I was fooling around with this little transistor up in Downingtown.
Well, that's funny because similarly, you know, when I was a kid, my mother threw a little transistor in my bed. And I would find all the R&B and the harp tones and the chords and Jaco, and I went, when I got to be 13, 14, 15, I knew the words to all those tunes, and I don't know how they got in there.
But you see, that's how it all happened. And, you know, in a neighborhood, especially in South Philadelphia, the windows were open, kids were playing, I'd be playing half ball on the streets, and at night you would go into the luncheonette or the candy store, and there was a jukebox there.
Right.
And we would put 25 cents in the jukebox, and I would get six selections, and I always looked for the obscure songs, Merrily by the Rainbows.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I'm
know, Bubba Johnson, Come Home. I mean, I would look for all these. I wasn't looking where it said Mercury or RCA or Capitol or Columbia.
Right.
I was looking for a label that said Atlantic, King, Federal, Specialty.
Right.
I said, wow, these are different labels than what my grandparents were listening to, or my mom was buying records back in the day. And that's how it began. And then I my uncles were on a local show called Bandstand.
Right.
Back in 1953.
Well, you know, Larry Chance, when he was Figueredo, told me that he danced on Bob Horn's Bandstand show as well, because, you know, a lot of people don't realize he was born in Philly, not the Bronx.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. And what happened, it was mandatory to watch your uncle appear on Bandstand. He was singing with a group called The Chimes.
Right.
Not the Chimes that we know, okay?
Gotcha.
The Philly, South Philly group. And I saw these kids jitterbugging, and I said, wait a second. Everybody in South Philly, we jitterbug better than these kids do.
Right.
But you had to be 14 years of age to get
yeah.
in. Yeah. I snuck in through the back where all of the camera guys were going in, the employees, and I got into a jitterbug contest that
right.
same day. And I won the jitterbug contest.
Unbelievable. That was the Jewish part that snuck in, not the Italian part. The Italian part no. was the dancing part. I got it.
And I won the contest.
Wow.
And in those days, if you won the first day, you had to come back and compete the second day. So I was on Bandstand at the age of 13 for maybe a week, winning every day this contest.
Unbelievable. You know, Bunny Gibson told me the same story. She traveled into Dick Clark's Bandstand and lied about her age, and they snuck her on. It's
yeah.
amazing.
And what happened here is Bob Horn said to me, you know, look, you won the dance contest. You know, you can't get in any more contests here, but what uh-huh. we would like you to do, because you're such a good dancer,
right?
You pick the dancers that we will rotate on the dance floor.
Wow.
And I became the head of the dance committee.
Unbelievable.
And I, that time I was going to Southeast Catholic. We were out of school at 2:15. Bandstand went on at 3:30 in the afternoon locally.
Right.
I would get out of school, hop on the L, get off at 46th and Market, and be at Bandstand at 3 o'clock, and I would pick out the records for Bob Horn for Rate the Records.
Wow.
And he would give me 5 or 6 different records, which is so interesting, Michael, because you can understand this. He would give me Shaboom by the Crew Cuts.
Right.
He would give me Ain't That a Shame by Pat Boone.
Right.
I said, yo, Bob, this is not the real record.
Well, you know, Jimmy Keys, I was a dean in the Bronx for 30 years at a tough school, and I had 2 of Jimmy Keys' kids, and he was a sweetheart. He told a story about, you know, going from the R&B charts to the pop charts. So that goes along with that.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Do, 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 shaboom.
Life could be a dream.
Shaboom.
If I could take you up in paradise up above.
Shaboom.
If you would tell me I'm the only one that you love.
Life could be a dream. Sweetheart, hello, hello again. Shaboom, and open, we'll meet again, boom.
Ding-dong, ding-dong, a-lang-a-lang-a-lang. Oh, 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 pip, a boob a doob a dip. Oh,
life could be a dream.
If only all my precious plans would come true. If you would let me spend my whole life loving you. Life could be a dream, sweetheart.
Every time I look at you, something is all my mind. If you do what I want you to, baby,
we
be so fine.
Oh, life could be a dream. Shaboom, if I could take you up in paradise up above. Shaboom, and tell me, darling, I'm the only one that you love. Life could be a dream. Sweetheart, hello, hello again. Shaboom, and hope we'll meet again. Boom, boom, boom. Hey, nang, ling, nang. Shalang, ala, lang, ala, lang, ala, lang, ala, ro, ro, dip. Shaboom, ba, ro, ba, dip. Oh,
life could be a dream. Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Shaboom, if I could take you up in paradise up above. Shaboom, and tell me, darling, I'm the only one that you love. Life could be a dream. Sweetheart, hello, hello
again. Shaboom and open me again. Boom, boom, boom.
Ding dong, ding dong.
Oh, her life could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Do, 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 shaboom.
And what happened, Bob? You know, that he wasn't aware that there were that these were cover records.
Unbelievable.
These records were all major labels. So, you know, the national promotion men, because Bandstand was such a big show, would give him all their hits. So what happened, Bob Horn, because of what I did, because of my ear and listening to Jocko and Raymond Bruce,
right,
as a little kid, I knew the original records. So Bob Horn basically in 1953-54 was probably one of the first white disc jockeys,
unbelievable,
television, to play the original records because of Jerry Blavitt turning him on.
And you were the program director at that point at a young age.
At a very, very young age. And what happened was when Bob Horn lost the show in 1956, Dick Clark came in, and, you know, and it's interesting because in my book, Dick Clark writes the introduction.
Right.
To the book. Have you read the book yet?
No, I'm very familiar with the book. I have not read the book.
You got to read the book because you will relate to everything in the book. The book was written as if I'm talking to you right now about our world.
Right.
So when Bob Horn lost the show, Dick Clark came in, and they offered me, because the show was about to go network, and they offered me double what I was getting.
Wow.
To do the same thing. And I said, no, we want Bob Horn back. No disrespect to Dick Clark at that time, but we didn't know who Dick Clark was.
Right.
I mean, and to make a long story short, I picketed Dick Clark with the rest of the kids, the committee kids.
Right.
But the cops came, arrested me, went down, and the rest is history, you see.
Right.
And what happened after that, I got involved locally with a guy who was partners with Bob Horn and Bernie Lowe, Matt Sigel, who had a group called Danny the Juniors.
Right.
And I became the road manager for them in 1957, 58, went on the road with them.
Right. I'm still friendly with Joe Terry. As a matter of fact, I got to stop you right here and tell you that last night at about 11 o'clock, mm-hmm, I spoke to John Madara, who's my really good friend, and I said, John, I'm going to be with Jerry Blavitt tomorrow. Do you have anything to say to him? And he said, nope, just tell him I love him dearly. So that's a message from John.
Let's go to the
let me tell you, he is a very talented man. I mean, not only did he do wonderful things with Danny the Juniors, but a girl by the name of Maureen Gray.
Right.
And Lynn Barry, and of course, Leslie Gore.
Right.
I mean, some of the things that they did. You know, I mean...
Hi, this is John Madeira, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Johnny Madeira, truly one of the unsung heroes as far as production and writing with Dave White, if you might remember, back in the day. But I then became the road manager, and I then also was Don Rickles' valet. And through
wow.
Don... And through Bandstand, at a very early age, I met Sammy Davis when I was head of the dance committee.
Right, I heard you were very close to Sammy.
I was Sammy's best man when he as a matter of fact, he proposed to Altavies at my home in Philadelphia.
And, unbelievable.
It's a great story, what you read in the book. And we went the next day, and I was his best man. And I was with Sammy till the day he died when I dipped him up in the body bag.
Unbelievable. And, of course, Sammy, you know... Everybody loves Sammy because he did everything well.
You know, you can talk about Frank, who was a friend, and you can talk about Rickles and Dean Martin. And, you know, I mean, by the grace of God, because of my years with respecting these people, I became very, very close to all of them. But Sammy was truly, I'll give you an example. I could walk down the street with Frank, and people would see Frank, and I'd be with Jilly, and they knew it was Frank. They would be afraid because they didn't know what kind of reaction would be if they said, "Hey, Frank, how are you?"
Right, right.
But with Sammy, we'd be walking down the street, and say, "Hey, Sam, my man." Sammy said, "Hey, bro, how you doing?" Pop, 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 pop. Sammy was just in a league of his own, really amazing.
You are more than kind.
Oh, incidentally, let me say this now, and I make a joke about myself, so you know, and I admit this fully, it is true that I'm an American Negro who I've adopted Judaism as a faith. Everybody knows that, and all the comics make jokes about it. And I do it in self-defense. But I would also like to let you know something, and I'm probably you're not aware of. My mother is a Puerto Rican. My mother's maiden name was Elvira Sanchez. This is true, Emmis. And so that means I'm colored, Jewish, and Puerto Rican. When I move into a neighborhood, I wipe it out.
I wipe the whole neighborhood out. Ain't nobody left.
Unbelievable, unbelievable. You know, my wife knew a lot of those people. My wife was Miss Maryland, then she went to the Miss USA. She was the runner-up in the Miss World, and she went on tour with Bob Hope and did some of those things, you know, in those days. And interestingly enough, John Madaro was going with Joey Heatherton in the early days, and Paulette was actually on tour with the USO with Joey, so there was a connection there. Very interesting.
Hi, this is John Madeira, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, that's when show business was show business. I had said something, Michael, to you earlier before we started the conversation about you. You know, you basically have the freedom to do what you do because you are an artist, creative artist. Back in the day, show business was show business where people created happiness. Unfortunately, today, the world that you knew, the world that I know, is no longer there. And people forget about the fact it's called show business. People come to pay to see you perform. You have to perform for them. You know, it's another point that I want to make out for you and your audience.
Sure.
I have a true belief of this. When God gives you a talent, and God gives everyone a talent, you have a talent for what you do. By the grace of God, I've got a talent for what I do. When you sin against your talent by doing anything wrong, you take a Whitney Houston, even going back with Frankie Lyman.
Right.
You take a Michael Jackson. They had such magnificent talent. It was a gift from God. When they started to abuse themselves with drugs and alcohol, God takes that talent away. You lose that gift that God has given you.
No, I understand. You know, I spoke to Jimmy Merchant just the other day. He said to me, I said, you know, if the record company didn't want to start splitting the group up and having Frankie go on his own, he said, no, it has nothing to do with that. He said, once he got married to the heroine, he was doomed. It beat him.
Listen, if I go back with Frankie, and in the book you'll read at the end when he was in Fort Dix, you know, I've been so much involved with this. You know, there was a big controversy about Frankie. As you know, his first wife was Zola Taylor.
Right.
From, as you know, the Platters.
Absolutely.
I get a call from Morris Levy back My gosh, after Frankie had passed away. Frankie, what was he, 26 years of age when he was at his grandmother's house, if
right.
you might remember. She found him in the bathroom.
That's correct.
You know, and what happened was he used to do my record hops in Philadelphia at Wagner's Ballroom. We used to have 2,000 kids. Because back in the 60s, nobody was playing Frankie Lyman, but I was playing oldies. I mean, I began as an accident on radio, which in the book you'll see that I was doing a talk show. I was shooting crap with the wise guys in South Philadelphia.
Right.
When I got off the road with Danny and the Juniors, we were shooting crap up the alley. And one of the wise guys owned a club called the Venus Lounge.
Uh-huh.
And he says, you know, I'm looking to do a radio show. Another wise guy says, yeah, well, you know, Blabber, he's in show business, sarcastically. He knows everything about show business. Yeah, let him do a radio show.
Right.
I looked at this dude. I said, yeah, I could do a radio show because I've been around radio all my life, if you remember.
Right.
As a promotion guy, going in and out of the radio studios, promoting records, on the road.
Right. And you know how to talk and you know how to express yourself.
And, you know, it's a natural thing.
Right.
So they said, what the hell does he know about radio? I said, I'll tell you what. I got the dice in my hand. I got to make a six. If I make a six, you let me go. You pay for me to go out and do a radio show. I'll
right.
get you a station. You give me the money. I'll get you a station. I said, you'll never make the number. Boom, boom, boom. Three passes. I make the six. Okay, go do a radio show.
You couldn't make it up.
That, true. Absolutely true.
Couldn't make it up.
Okay, I go to a radio station in Camden, WCAM, and in those days you bartered, as you do today, too.
Right.
But they had the Spanish hour, the Italian hour, the German hour, the
right.
hour, the gospel hour. So I buy an hour's worth of time, which this guy pays, all right, and I start to do a talk show. All of a sudden, this is 1960, a snowstorm closes the city of Philadelphia. I have to do the show.
Right.
It's about the hour time. I can't do it from the club. So what do? I take all my records that I used to dance to, Little Richard, Fats Domino, Chuck Berry, Frankie Lyman, the Kleptones, all the Clovers, man, the Burn Baker,
right.
Brown, Clyde McFadder, and I go up to the radio station and I start to play oldies. The phones lit up because the kids are surfing the dials.
Uh-huh.
They want to know if they're going to be out of school the next day. Instead of me being on for an hour, Michael, there's no relief. I'm doing this for 3 hours. The phones are going crazy.
Right.
What nobody realized, and I realized it, to the kids listening that night, to Little Richard and Fats and Chuck Berry and the other artists, to us, it was an oldie. But to them in 1960, it was brand new.
Right.
It was music that nobody was playing.
Gotcha.
And they flipped. So I said, hey, man, this is my career. I stopped doing the radio show at the Venus Lounge. I made a deal with the radio station. I said, don't pay me. I'll hand you over all of my sponsors. And I went on
wow.
days a week playing oldies. So in 1965, from 1960 to 1965, I'm playing oldies, but also incorporating new things like Twist and Shout. He's So Fine by the Chiffons.
Right.
Doing things like I Do by the Marvellos.
of the Supreme, and you're listening to my friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show, and we just have so much fun, my baby love, me and Mike Miller. Woo!
So the combination of the oldie and the new things which hit my ear that I had the freedom to play before anybody.
Right, and freedom is a wonderful thing without having a program director standing over you saying, this is what you're playing.
Listen, music has got to come from a heart. Not a research chart. I created the persona of the Geter. I envisioned me as a Native American Indian, the freedom that they had to roam the plains, take care of their family, and I would not let anybody take that freedom away as we took that freedom away from the Native American Indian. And in my book that you read, my passion and my desire for me to be creative as you are creative has taken me to the point where I am now. So when Frankie Lyman would come on by to Wagner's in the 60s, he was still so very popular with my audience, you see, because I was playing Lyman when nobody else was playing Lyman. And, you know, when he passed away, and it was very sad, as I said, Morris Levy called me up because he had three wives.
Right.
And Morris said, there's royalties here.
Right.
There's Elizabeth Dolan, and there's Zola Taylor, you know, and there was Amara. And there was a big dispute about who was to get the royalties.
I understand. Yeah, I remember.
You know, and this industry that you lived in when you were playing with the groups, it's wonderful because of the fact it was a time when we were all young.
Right.
This was our music. This was not the music of our parents, Michael.
What was funny is that after talking to Roz and Annette, the original Vandellas, and talking even to Mary Wilson and talking, you know, and they said, you know, we were young kids, you know, the Morrises and the Berries, they signed us. We didn't know what we were signing. We just wanted to be there. Years later, they would show us clauses in contracts that said, hey, everything's going to change today because you signed this a million years ago. It's really funny. Mary Wilson said to me, we're on a bus, we're in the South, Len Barry was on the tour, and we went to this deli and they wouldn't let the black performers in. And, actually, Diana, who Mary calls Diane, said, I'm going in there, I'm Diana Ross, I'm going in, I'm gonna buy my food, I'm gonna eat my food. And they escorted her out. And who took over? Len Barry went in there, and said to the guy, everybody's getting off the bus, they're coming in, they're buying their food, or we're going to take this joint apart. And I said, you know, that's Len Barry. You know, he actually made it happen on that particular day because he got so fed up with the...
I used to do, as the road manager of Danny the Juniors, I used to do those tours.
Right.
And you would get on a bus, and you would sleep on the bus if you had a layover, and you would stop and eat and go back on the bus, and if you were able to, as far as the routing was concerned, if you had a two-day layover in between, then you went into a motel and you slept for about 8 hours and then get back on the bus. But, you know, in reality, it's like Frankie Lyman. It's like all the wonderful artists back then. You just said it. They wanted to record. They wanted to use their talent as an expression to make people happy. It was not about the money.
Right.
I've never done anything in my career for the money. I have never gotten paid to do radio because my response with management is don't pay me.
Right.
Don't tell me what to say. Don't tell me what to play. If I don't bring the ratings in, if I don't bring the sponsors in, get rid of me.
Right.
You've got nothing to lose.
Well, if you're doing it out of purity, the money comes anyway.
Absolutely. My audience, by the grace of God, has supported me for 52 years. And you know the great thing about this, Michael?
Yes.
Young people pick it up. And my audience is always coming into a new generation. A new generation. Because if you're honest with what you do, they know it. Honesty comes through that microphone. that comes through, the music that you play. Nobody plays the music anymore. There are no longer disc jockeys.
Oh, the personalities are going by the board. So look at the, look how Don K. Reed is frustrated now. You know, Brucey's on Sirius, but I don't consider that real radio either because it's programmed. You hear the same songs at 5 p.m. every night.
You know, Michael, you know, not only that, but when you sell your talent for a dollar, okay, you are selling your creative soul for that dollar. Don't let anyone take away your passion.
Right.
Okay. You can't let them do that, man.
I understand totally.
Let me give you an example.
Sure.
You go back to the, you talk about Bob Hope. You talk about the giants in the industry.
Right.
You know, they had a act. They knew their act was a performance. Nobody told them what to do. They were trial and by error from the reaction of the audience. And that's what show business is about. You know, it's funny. We talk about Diana Ross and all that. I was on the tours, and you know what would happen, and Johnny Madera could tell you this.
Right.
When Danny the Juniors would go on, and you'd only do your hit songs.
Sometimes when I'm all alone, feeling kind of low, you come round to cheer me up because you love me so.
Supportive.
You see, and then you would apply that to your performance.
Right.
So we all learned together from a family. And there was no jealousy. There was no envy back there. It was a camaraderie. And today, all of these wonderful artists, Fats and Little Richard, and all, they're still friends, Chuck. You know,
oh, yeah.
Because it's a family. You think today's artists are family?
No, there's a lot of, you know as well as I do how much infighting there is, even over groups that have divided and family stuff, and there's a West Coast group and an East Coast group. I have this expression that I always say, it's called shut up and sing, because it's about the music, And you know yourself, you're sitting, you're on stage, you look out into the audience. There's the CEO of the bank. There's the guy that painted his house. There's the guy that has money with him. There's the guy down the street that washes his car. And they're all sitting in the orchestra shoulder to shoulder. And the thing that's bringing them together is the music. It's universal.
Listen, music is universal. Music is everlasting. If it's good, it can come back anytime. 1948, That's My Desire by Frankie Lane. 1959, Dan the Belmonts. 1957, Earl Lewis and the Channels. If it's good, Cole Porter, I've Got You Under My Skin. Sinatra, Four Seasons, years later. So when something is good, it is endless.
Hey, blew my mind when I found out that Louis Prima wrote Sunday Kind of Love.
Oh, right.
You know.
Listen, how about Since I Fell for You, Buddy Johnson?
Right.
Great Buddy Johnson, the great orchestra leader. Who was the orchestra leader at the Apollo Theater. And you know, Red Prysock was with Buddy, and Arthur Prysock was with
Yeah,
Buddy.
Arthur, as a matter of fact, you know, when I lived in Manhasset, Arthur Prysock's daughter was the only black girl that went to Herrick's, and she was well-respected. Arthur Prysock.
I go back when she was a little girl. Listen, there's so many wonderful stories in my book. We talk about Jackie Wilson. When I was doing the TV show, when Jackie was at the Latin Casino, That terrible situation that happened when he fell down and everybody thought that it was a part of the act, but he actually had a heart attack. But
right.
By the time they got to him, they didn't realize that it was not a part of the act and he was brain damaged. But that 2 days before that performance on Dick's show, he sat with me with his son Thor. And for one half hour, he and I spoke as you and I are talking about the business.
Right.
Back with Billy Ward and the Dominoes, how when Clyde was drunk all the time, Billy Ward fired him and Jackie took over.
Right.
I mean, there's so many wonderful stories about our industry, the passion and the pain and the love, and you get kicked and you get up and you do it again.
No, I understand. That's why when I do my interviews, I like to get into the cracks and the crevices a little bit deeper than some of the other people that do that. And I've been able to do that, and it's great because people love to hear that inside stuff because all those performers are loved. I mean, they're part of our growing up, and, you know, it's just part of our being.
Well, you know, someone says to me, because, I'm working every day. And,
right. You're a busy guy. I know that.
You know, at this point, they're talking about creating a movie or an HBO series on the book You Only Rock Once because it's about my friendship with all kinds of people. I grew up in a neighborhood. I knew everybody. I knew
right.
the priest. I knew the wise guy. I knew the boss. I knew the barber. I knew the butcher.
Right.
And if you're nice and good and you're good to me and my family, I'm not going to – none of my business what you do, okay? And that's the way it was, Michael, when you grew up. It's the same way, you know. You said it about a performer. You got the banker. You got the money guy. You got
right.
the – they're in the audience. Music brings everybody together.
Absolutely.
And the thing that I loved about our industry, you learned from each other. You learned from each other.
Oh, absolutely. Jerry, who were some of your mentors in the business? I know that Don K. Reed told me a story about going to the radio station, and Hal Jackson actually came out of the booth and spoke to him when he was about 14 years old, and that's what caused him to go into radio. Who were some of the people that that you listened to?
Well, you got to understand, I go back with Hal. When I was a kid, it was always the black disc jockey.
Right.
And the king of them all, who was my mentor, was Doug Henderson, as you know, as Jocko.
Right.
Baltimore. Of course, the Rocket Ship Show, the first guy that did it was Hot Rod out of
right.
Baltimore. He was the first ace from outer space. But what would happen is that I, after Bandstand and after being on the road, I also was a promotion man.
Right.
I would visit WDAS, WHAT, the black jockeys, Lloyd Fatman.
Oh, yeah.
So Walter Rawley. When I would go into Chicago, Ronnie Jones, I would visit with them and watch as they played their music.
Gotcha.
I was intrigued because they all came up with a persona. So when I found me playing my oldies, I just couldn't be Jerry Blabbitt's host.
Right.
I said, what makes sense here? This guy's called the Ace from Outer Space. This is the Rocket Man. This is this guy. Okay. I got it. I don't know what the hell I'm doing here. I'm up, all the way up the end of the dial, saying Fats and Brother Richard and Chuck and all that.
Right.
I said, it's crazy. The phones are ringing. It's kids are calling. I said, wait a second. An alligator in Florida lives in the mud.
Yeah, and I got him in my backyard, but go ahead.
They don't bother you.
Yep.
But if you go near it, man.
You bet.
It catches you up.
They'll fast. So, they'll eat your dog.
Boom, boom. And all of a sudden, that's it. But I can't be an alligator. Okay, alligator meet a guy. Oh, the gator, like an alligator. But what makes sense? Well, the music I'm playing is hot. I'm finger-popping. Good God, I'm doing all my rap and all that. I said, this is it. When you're a kid on the corner, in the city, on the streets, freezing outside, guy comes in a car. We all jump in the guy's car.
Right.
Turn the heater up. After 10 minutes, you say, turn the heater down, it's too hot. The parents are yelling in the background as the kids are listening to the gator. Turn that guy down. He's raucous. That music is raucous. That's it. I'm the gator with the heater being old record pleater. Like the car. Turn
right.
that heater down. So I became the gator with the heater. That was the rap. That was the persona. That was the creativity. That is where it has taken me to the point where I am today.
Unbelievable.
See, but there is the point that we made earlier. You have to be creative. You have to. I feel so bad for young people today, Michael.
Right.
Who have a love, but they're not allowed to express that love.
That's true, and they don't know how to channel it. They don't know what to do about it. And, of course, the whole music business has changed. I'll be honest with you. Mel Carter has a new CD out. He's got it on iTunes and here and there. I said to Lenny Welch, Lenny, you going back into the studio? He said, why should I? He says, I wouldn't know what to do with the product. He said, I'm happy going on stage, doing my thing, having people, the rapport with the people. He said, but to cut a CD, he said, I wouldn't know the first thing to do with it.
Yeah, no,
it's funny.
First of all, even the artists from our world, forget that. New artists today can't get arrested.
Right.
I mean, other than the hip-hop, the rap stuff, man, there is no industry.
I know.
And there is, in my opinion, no music. Our music spoke about love, life. It had a beat. It had a rhythm. When you didn't know how to express yourself to a girl, you called up the disc jockey and said, please play this for Sue. I only have eyes for you.
Absolutely. And that's why a lot of the people, and especially the baby boomers in Florida, even though some of them are still afraid of the computer, they're getting into internet radio. That's kind of why I went into it. And believe it or not, I started off just small. My Johnny Mathis interview, I got between 50 and 60,000 listens to that, which for an internet show is, that's over the top. So it makes me feel good. That's all.
Michael, if you've got something that the public wants, they're going to find you. I started out on a 250-watt station. You couldn't sometimes even hear it in the men's room of the same building.
Right.
But kids heard this new sound. They heard this rebel jock who was different than anybody else. I'll give you an example. Sid Marker was Frank Sinatra's dear buddy, along with me.
Right.
Madonna, and I wrote my book because of being with Madonna at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when she inducted David.
Right. Yeah, Terry Stewart's a very good friend of mine. I'll tell you that story. He's a sweetheart.
Good guy. What happened here is that when I was able to figure out where I wanted to go, it became a natural thing, Michael.
Right.
It became a natural thing back then, you see.
And then again, you've been through every decade, and we had the Philly gang, with Chubby and with Frankie and with Bobby. And then, of course, as we move on through the decades, TSOP and the Philly sound, I'm sure you were all part of that, too.
Well, music, as I said, reaches your ear in every way. And I've been, it's the blessing of having the freedom of a Native American Indian. Don't let anyone take that freedom away. And one of the strong suits that I've got is I have an ear for music. I always had an ear. And I have an ear for unusual music, which I have the ability to share with my audience, which they don't have today they don't do that any longer, you know.
No, I know that. As a matter of fact, last year, actually, I think you were down at the Hard Rock for a while, weren't you?
Yeah, we went to Seminole Hard Rock.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, my wife and I were going to try to get down there, and we couldn't make it, you know. But
we'll be back.
Yeah, you know, we do. We run around. It's funny you were talking about Rickles. Don was at the Kravis Center last year, and Joan Rivers opened up for Don, and Don came out, and I felt so bad. He started telling the same joke again, and he kind of got lost, you know. And, you know, it was tough because I said to him, hey, you know, he's getting old. And he says, oh, did I tell you that one already? And people, you know, Palm Beach people are very unforgiving, you know.
Let me say this about Don. He is a sweetheart. As you know, he's 84 years old.
Right.
As a matter of fact, Tony Bennett will have a birthday in August.
Right.
I think Tony's going to be 85. They're both around the same age. But people know. Look, it's like with Frank at the end. It was sad. I mean, I was with Frank with moments where he would just forget. I mean, sitting there talking about things.
But it was Frank.
It was Frank.
So,
people,
you know.
Love that. I mean, you know, these are the icons of the world back then.
No, I understand. I understand. You know, funny story, I'm down in Lauderdale, and I'm going to a friend's house in the music business, whatever, and I go to this deli, because I said, I'm not going to go up and raid his refrigerator. I'll go to this deli. I'll get a sandwich. And I'm looking behind me. I see this short, gray-haired old guy, whatever, and I'm turning around. Finally, I said to him, Shecky? He goes, Green, why? I said, are you kidding? So I did the Catskills years and years, you know, with Corbett Monica and that whole crowd and London Lee. And we sat down at the table. I mean, my coffee was getting cold, the whole thing. And he went on and on. He's like 84, 85. He does two shows a year. He shrunk. I have this theory that when, no matter what ethnicity you are, when men get into their 90s, they all start shrinking and speaking Yiddish. So I told him that, you know, it's funny. There he was right in front of me, and I said he was such a powerhouse, and he's a little old guy now, you know.
And I go back with Shecky Green, with Phyllis Diller, when I was doing my TV show. I had all these guys, you know, I mean, you see, I've not only been with music. I mean, I love show business as you love
You people. Lived the life.
You know, so, I mean, I go back with Shecky, with Phyllis Diller. There's some great stories where she was
the
Americana. And the next act was going to be Shirley Bassey. And, you know, and what in show business in those days, the closing act would always introduce the next act that's going to open up after you close.
Gotcha.
And it was almost mandatory that whoever's going to be following is in the audience the closing night so that the star who's closing can say, by the way, in the audience is Shirley Bassey opening up tomorrow night, Well, Shirley, and I love Shirley Bassey. I mean, in my opinion, this is the greatest singer, man. I'll tell you another great singer, Timmy Eura.
Oh, yeah?
Timmy Eura, man, let me tell you something, man. When you talk about power, and I'll give you a guy like Roy Hamilton when you talk about power.
Everybody in the business mentions Roy Hamilton as not having gotten enough credit for what he did. And I'm talking about Lenny, Mel Carter, you know, all these guys. They always mention Roy Hamilton as being a guy that they look up to. And they said he really never got his just due.
He was an amazing talent. But anyway, what happened back with Shecky is the fact that Shecky comes up to the suite after, and he's drunk.
Yeah.
And they knock at the door, and Phyllis Diller opens. At that time, she was married to Ward. And Ward opens up, and he just collapses on the floor, and the party went on, and everybody left, and he was drunk on the floor.
Wow.
Shecky, these are great stories about show business, guys, which was so true. It was a wonderful time, man, wonderful time.
I remember, I actually reminded Shecky about his closing joke. He says, yeah, you know it, tell me. That was the thing. He says he'd finished the late show. He needed some fresh air. He steps out of the casino into the street. He says he lights up a cigarette. He's puffing on the cigarette, blowing smoke rings, and the big limo pulls around. Six guys jump out of the limo. They start beating the crap out of him. They get him to the ground. They're kicking him in the stomach. The cigarette rolls down out of his face. He looks up. He sees his two patent leather shoes walking towards him. He looks up, and it's Sinatra, and Sinatra goes, okay, that's enough. That was his closing joke for years.
You know, he had a couple of situations with Frank.
So
did Kathy Mason, by the way.
Yeah, oh yeah. Don't want to talk about the Malt Shop Cruise because I'll be there. So Jerry, you've been connected with so many great tunes over the years. Why don't you tell us some of your favorite Jerry songs?
Well, you know, I tell you, Michael, you know, you and I have been talking about this. I've had the freedom to play music, and most radio stations back in the day, as you know, the disc jockeys, when the Paolo investigation came in,
right,
they were not allowed to play their records.
Uh-huh.
That they liked. Me, I always played what I liked, because if I felt I liked it, if it had a lyric that related to a young person growing up, I would put it on the turntable.
Right.
So many of them. I mean, I can. And when you're talking about dance things, you go back with Viola by the Versatones.
Remember?
these were not the traditional songs of the day.
Right.
I Do by the Marbellos. Heat Wave by Martha Reeves and the Vandellas, which I do my rap over. I Wish That We Were Married, which I think was just an amazing.
Ronnie and the Highlights. I mean, it's a classic, yeah.
I wish that we were married, so we never, 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 never say goodbye.
By Jimmy Charles.
Right.
A million to one. That's what our folks think about this love of ours. A million to one. They say that our love will fade like yesterday's flower.
one.
Twistin' Matilda by Jimmy Soul. And, you know, it's a funny, great story. It's not a funny story. It's a true story about Sherry. You know, that song almost never came out. When you read in the book how that happened, I was in Florida at the Fontainebleau, and I was at the bar, and Bob Crew was at the bar. And back then, at the record conventions in 1962, whoever was shopping their wares, they would have a little portable turntable. You know, Philips made a little portable turntable at that time.
Wow, so you just bring it right along and you just, there it is.
Hey, I want you to hear something I just cut. I want you to hear the group, la-di-da-di-da. So he plays for me a little demo. I hear it, I say, man, this is a smash. He says, what Morris Levy from Roulette Records would like to buy the master. I said, look, when you see Morris, tell him I think it's a smash.
Right.
Now, this is 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I go up, 8 o'clock at night. We go back down for dinner, and there's Bob Crew at the bar getting drunk. At the Fontainebleau. So I figure, Michael, that he's getting drunk because he made a score. I pat him on the back, and I said, congratulations. He says, congratulations, my heir. I said, what do you mean? He says, Morris hates the record, told me to tell you that you lost your ear.
Wow.
Now, I was down there because of the fact I had busted a record called Make It Easy on Yourself by Jerry Butler.
Oh, I remember it. You were probably down at the Fontainebleau to see Tody Fields that night.
Exactly.
I remember.
So what happened, I said, give me the house phone, I say to the bartender. I call Abner at VJ. He's got a suite there.
Right.
I said, Ab, I want to come up. I've got Crew. I want you to hear something I think is a smash. Now, you must understand, VJ Records was the first black-owned label even before Berry Gordy.
Right.
Okay, with Vivian and her brother and her husband, Jimmy Brackett.
Uh-huh.
They had all black artists, the Spaniels, Jerry Butler, the Impressions, the Dells, going back with the Flamingos. At the very, very beginning, they all recorded on VJ before crossing the street to Chess Records.
Gotcha.
So I play this thing, and Abner says, Geeter, I think you're right. It sounds like it's a smash. So he says to Crew, tell me about the group. So Crew says, well, it's a combination of the Four Lovers and a group called the Royal Teens.
Uh-huh.
And a song called Short Short.
Right.
So Abner looks at me and says, Geeter, it's a white group. I said, so what, Abner? He says, man, we're a black label. We do not get white play. He said, you busted the record. You made a crossover with Butler's Make It Easy on Yourself. I ain't going to get the black cat to play this if it's a white group.
Uh-huh.
I said, Abner, what does music have to do with color, race? It's music doesn't see that, man.
That's true.
He says, I dig it, but the black cats aren't going to play it. I said, give me the demo.
Uh-huh.
Take it back to Philadelphia, WCAM in Camden. I put it on the turntable. Play the demo. I still have the demo. You know what the song was? Sherry.
Sherry Baby.
1962. Abner called up. He said, tell Crew. The record distributors were getting calls. The record stores were getting calls. Abner made the deal. Only first white group that ever, ever recorded on a black label.
Fabulous. You know, it's funny. Charlie Colello lives down the block from me, and I talk to him all the time. He tells me great stories, too, you know.
But Charlie was a great, great arranger.
Oh, yeah. And still, they still asked him to guest conduct. Even when, I think, when Frankie comes into the Broward Center or the Kravis, usually Charlie is involved with that as well.
Did you ever hear Be My Baby by the Forevers? I mean,
yes.
Him doing that? I mean, amazing song. You know, even, you know, Pollyanna by the Classics. I mean, that's that Four Seasons sound.
Right.
Deep inside.
for your audience, as you know, the only groups of recording artists that were able to survive with the British invasion, because you knew what happened back then.
All of course.
The radio was playing nothing but English.
You bet it. It knocked off Jay and the Americans. It knocked off just about everybody, you know.
Except the Four Seasons, the Beach Boys, and the Motown Sound.
Right.
So, you know, it's an amazing journey, this music world that you and I have lived in. And it's just, as I said, we said it earlier, it's sad that radio no longer has the freedom to play the music and the disc jockeys. You know, the only people... You know what radio is about today? Talk radio. It's about what you're doing right now.
No, I hear you, and I know that the personalities are disappearing slowly, so we hang on to the ones that we have.
But that's why talk radio is so big, because your audience is now identifying with what you and I are talking about.
No, I understand.
You know, and that's the secret. In other words, if you get a guy like Howard Stern, who, you know, whatever, he's not my cup of tea because of that shock jock type thing.
Right.
But yet an audience relates to what the subject is and what they're talking about. There's a wonderful talk guy by the name of Michael Shmakonish.
Right, I know who he is.
Yeah, and he is wonderful because he lets his audience into the conversation and the topic.
Right.
We did it with music. I still do it with music because I play music that a young person or any person can identify with as far as the lyrics can.
Well, I read somewhere, and you can tell me whether this is true or not. We're going to go shock jock here. Somebody said, I heard that Jerry Blabbitt still gets old people laid. Is that true?
Listen, the music will get anybody laid.
There you go.
Let me tell you something, man.
It's a great line.
We in America have had the freedom as a country to pursue careers and to raise kids. And music has always been a part of our lives.
You bet.
Asian, black, Jewish, Italian, Polish, Irish, we all come together in this great melting pot, and it's the American music. You know, our music of rock and roll is our music. The Italians have their music. Every great country has their music. The French have their music. The United Kingdom, Vera Lynn, Matt Monroe, these great artists. But rock and roll is America's music, you see.
But isn't it great how many nouveau doo-wop groups are showing up in the UK and Germany and Barcelona? Paulette and I are taking a river cruise next week. We're going to be, in Europe, Prague and Hungary. And then we're going to go spend about 4 or 5 days in Barcelona. I'm going to try to check out the Earth Angels and some of those new groups in Barcelona that are really catching on to the old R&B sounds, and it's nouveau.
Well, you see what it is, though, Michael? Those countries, Europe and those countries, they are what we were back in the 50s and the 60s, with radio saying, hey, let's experiment, let's play, let's go for an audience. Okay, radio in this country today is big, big organizations.
Right.
Big, big dollars, okay? They're not looking for disc jockeys. They're looking for a jukebox. Boom, boom, boom.
No, I hear you, and, you know, that's I'm against that totally, totally. I have a silly question to ask you.
Yes.
You're a urologist. Is Dr. Razor, is that his real name?
That is his real name. He's a Harvard graduate.
No kidding.
And he is from an old school. We drink wine together, we hunt together, we move together. See, I have my own little posse of people. I've learned one thing in my life, and I want you and your audience never forget this.
Right.
Stay away from negative people. Always be with people more intelligent than you are.
That's my wife says that to me all the time. Every morning she says, we only want to be with people that lift us up.
Absolutely. Because of the fact today, you know, I've learned, even as a kid in my book, I always hung with older guys. I was in awe of knowledge. And I'm just like my thing is, I just love people, man.
It's how you learn. I mean, you know, if you want to get better at basketball, you got to play with guys that are taller than you.
Absolutely.
That's the analogy, you know.
Let me tell you, I've been around a long time. I didn't intend to be where I am today. I just wanted to have the freedom, like the Native American Indian did, as I said earlier, to do, and to be happy. Because when you're happy, you make other people happy. And my happiness comes when I see that audience out there. They're smiling.
Oh, it's like, yeah, it's always about being in the middle of the moment. I mean, you know, that's what it's all about. People say, why do you still chase that? And I say, because it's part of me, you know.
Michael, that's what makes you Michael Miller.
Right.
I mean, God gives us all a talent. As I said to you before, if you sin against the talent, he takes it away from you. But the guy that drives a truck and loves driving a truck,
right?
The guy that is a construction worker, a hammer jack guy, if he loves what he's doing, he's a happy man. I've seen people professionally, lawyers, who don't like being lawyers any longer. And yet they go and they fake it, and they don't win cases because they don't have the passion like they did.
I hear you. When it's real, it's real. When it's real, it shines through. I understand that totally. Let's talk about the fact that as busy as you are, as John Madaro always says to me, Jerry Blavitt is in such great shape that it's scary what kind of shape you're in. So I guess you still have time to hit the gym and take care of yourself.
Let me tell you my day, okay? I'll be up at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'll go to bed maybe 3, 4 o'clock in the morning because I'm working the clubs. I got my own club. Sleep a couple of hours. Get up. I'll do 20 minutes of abs. Okay,
right.
Leg work, get on my bicycle, I ride a bike all around town, go have my coffee, get fresh carrot juice, you know, with celery juice, mix that all together, ride my bicycle, get into the office here, do a radio show, go to the gym, work out for an hour, and that's what I do. I'll eat a multi-brand piece of bread and, you know, egg, which is very, very... People used to say egg bad. No, eggs are very good for you.
Yeah.
But, you know, I also drink good wine. I eat well, and I love what I do.
I love my
wife. My man said that. Mm-hmm. I love my life. Man, let me tell you something. In America today, you know, we look what happens. Read every day about what's happening in this country today.
Right.
You know the problem? There is no longer the teachers. All of these wonderful people that were a part, the older people that we looked up to and respected.
Right.
They're no longer the teachers any longer.
I understand.
And, you know, if you talk about the problems, you got to blame the parents, man. I mean, you got to go back. I mean, when I was a kid,
of course,
I had a broken family.
But
it was my neighbor that said, if I tell your mother or your father, I'm going to give you a kick in the ass. And then you're gonna, I couldn't go to my mother and say, Mom, I won't do it again. I won't do it again. I won't do it again.
No, I hear you. You know, my biggest problem in the schools were parents, but I stuck to my guns. I had all inner city kids in the Bronx and whatever. And at the end, we had the, you know, La Familia, the Latin Kings, Nieta, and that's what I dealt with. And, see, my thing was, why are we teaching these kids in Spanish? They never get to learn English. Let them learn English, just like the Asian kids that came in and learned it, the Italian kids. They all learn the language. The Spanish kids we had to teach in Spanish, and it was like, okay, fine. But when they got out in the 12th grade, they still couldn't speak English, and they were 2 years socially back.
Absolutely.
So,
and to try and get a job after that.
Right.
You know, we got to go back to the old ways. The old ways were the true ways. You did wrong, you got punished for that, man. I'll give you an example. I ran the dances in Philadelphia, Wagner's and Shabu Ballroom. 2,000 kids. 2,000 kids. I mean, from 1962 to 1970.
Okay? Right.
If a kid stepped out of line, we barred the kid.
Right.
If he got in a fight, you barred him.
Right.
Now, when he was outside and his buddies are coming inside, after the third week, he pleads with you, please give me another chance, please, I'll be like a vigilante.
Right.
You took something away from him that he wanted. He made a mistake, and then when you brought him back in, the kid stepped in line.
And also, you know that peer pressure is the most powerful thing on earth. So to be separated from and be outcasted from his peers there,
exactly,
you know, has a tremendous effect on him.
Exactly. You know? And, you know, and we have to go back to the spiritual side of God again.
I agree.
People in this country fail to realize that all life form is given by the Native American Indians, say the great Manitou. We call him God. The natives, they called him what they called him, but
right.
It's higher spirit. And we have to go back to the spiritual side in this country again.
Agreed. Totally. Totally. I'm telling you, Jerry, I mean, you know, that's the secret, and I know that. I was always the great liberal until I realized going through the Board of Education, City of New York, how much we have moved the bar, allowed, given it away, whatever. We need to get back to what got us there, you know?
Listen, if you work and you earn and you sweat, you deserve what you have.
I agree.
You cannot expect government to say, well, now we have to give to those who are not working. No, that
agreed.
Doesn't work, man.
Agreed. And that is another two-hour talk. But, you know, hey.
We're music.
back to Jerry. You know, so Jerry Blabbitt, the Philadelphia Hall of Fame, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You were also a member of the Friars Club. Is that right?
Yeah, I love that. Listen, I used to go to the Friars Club with Sammy and Frank. And back in the day, and whoever thought, well, you know, I'll be a friar, but I'm a friar. Yeah.
And another thing, you know, when I moved to Boca, mm-hmm. I was living in Connecticut. I was going through a heavy divorce, and very quickly I lost my brother, my mother, and my father all in 1 year, three different scenarios and whatever. And that really changed me as a person. I was really rocked. I didn't want to sing anymore and whatever. And as a matter of fact, that's when George called me and I joined the Mystics, and the music kind of saved my life again. Now, you were very, very close to your mom. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, you know, I saw the struggle because, as I said, when you read the book, my father was a Jewish racketeer. He was in and out of the can. And my mother had to raise me and my sister. And she had to get a job as a riveter during the Second World War. And we would be shipped off to a day nursery, St. Monica's Day Nursery, raised by the nuns. And I saw how difficult it was for her to be a riveter during the day. And then she had to get a second job at a place called Eskins, which was a jewelry manufacturing place. And I had a great love for her because I saw the struggle that she had, but yet she had dignity and respect and she really taught me. I mean, look, my father taught me the streets.
Right.
My old man was a scoundrel. When you read in the book, and I loved him, I very rarely saw my dad.
Right.
But, I mean, he was with the Jewish mob and all of that, and they were classy, and I looked up to that. You know, he wore a suit and tie.
Right.
Inside, they were playing bocce. My yep. uncles, they were playing bocce, drinking wine. My father uptown was drinking scotch and soda. You know, taking me to the 2-4 club, taking me to the Latin casino.
You know, I hear you. My father was that way too. He was a hard ass, you know, and you know, I would wrap my arms around him and I would say, I love you, Dad. And he would look at me and say, go screw yourself. That was the way he told me that he loved me. So, but I took his passing even harder than anybody else's. So,
because you know, I know what you're saying because you wanted that love to come back. And the passing of him, and I, look, at the end, my father wound up working for me, the GIMP, you know.
Right.
And, you know, the struggle of life is every day is a lesson in learning in life, man. And you become stronger from the things that knock you down. You can't let anything stop you. You get up, whether it's death, whether it's sickness, listen. I had melanoma cancer, okay?
Right.
I was born a sickly kid. You know, I had a murmur. I had a hole in the heart and all of that, rheumatic fever. But my desire, when you read the book, to just be, that's the Native American Indian, man.
Now, how can people get your book if they're listening?
They can go online, Amazon.com.
Right.
It's been top 10 for almost a year now.
Right.
And Little Richard did a burp on it. Kevin Costner did a burp on it. Dick Clark did the introductory on it.
Wow.
Fats Domino, Burt Bacharach, Berry Gordy, Don Rickles, Dionne Warwick, Patti Smith, Davy Jones, my old friend who's not here any longer, Stevie Van Zandt. It's an amazing history. It's not only our music, but it's when America was young and everybody was young and belonged to a neighborhood where the neighbors watched over.
Well, I'm going to go get it, but then I'm going to send it to you and have you sign it.
Michael, you got it. Whatever you
need. You know what I mean? Let's say a word about Carol. Carol is great. You know, Carol is so easy to deal with. And she said to me, you know, this is when you're going to get Jerry. And she was right on the money and you were right on the money. So, I guess you're lucky to have Carol.
Well, you know, as I said, surround yourself with good people, and give them the freedom to grow. Stay away from negative people. And remember, nobody's getting out alive, Michael. So the secret of life is God gives you something, you enjoy it, but pass on the good things that God gives you to your people, which you're doing. You're making people happy with this broadcast. You're giving people hope with this broadcast, because you're also giving them something that's no longer in this great country of ours.
No, I hear you. Tell me something, Jerry. Yeah, what would you like to say to Jerry Blabbitt fans that have been with you all these years and are still with you and following the Gita? What would you like to say to those people?
I would like to thank them for allowing me to have the freedom to be me, and for them, the audience out there, to understand and support me the way they have supported me. Because I've never gotten paid for doing radio. I've always wanted the freedom to play music from my heart and research chart, and I always wanted the freedom to talk to an audience as I am talking to you right now. And for 52 years, those people who began with me, who are still with me, and their grandkids who are now picking up on the Gita, I thank them, because it just goes to show you, if you believe truly in what you're doing, the audience will be there. And they've been with me for all of these years, and without that audience, I would not be here today, Michael.
Wow.
Bottom of my heart, I thank them all.
That's fabulous. Jerry, I want to thank you so much, Mr. Jerry Blabbitt, who is firmly implanted in radio broadcast history, an icon. And I look up to you so much, man, because you've done a lot for this music, for all the groups that are our peers. And I just have to take my hat off to you. I love you, man. Thank you for the time.
Michael, I thank you and I love you, but more important, you are carrying on that which I began and that which people before me began in this wonderful industry called show business. And there are very few of us left today, Michael. Every day we go up and meet the other guys up in that heavenly cloud. But what remains is the fact that a guy like you can continue doing what we started.
Well, I certainly appreciate having your blessings, Jerry. You have a wonderful day, and I will see you soon.
And remember, keep on rocking, because you only rock once.
We'll be in touch, and I'll see you on the cruise.
All right, my buddy.
All right, kiddo. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye, buddy.
Bye. Hey, this is Mike Miller, and you're here with me on the Harmony Street Show. Let's just sit back and listen to Jerry Blabbitt, the geeter with the heater, doing what he does best.
Got to be the Gita with the heater, heater being on the record. The fleet of single, up above the sheep. Oh!
Whenever I'm with you, something inside is burning, and I feel with desire. The a devil and me on the highest way of life. I keep waiting, burning in my heart. I can't keep from here. Whenever he comes my name,
my name is the Geeter with the Heater, the big boss with the big hot sauce, Jerry Blavitt, and you know who you're listening to? My man, Mike Miller, ladies and gentlemen, the man who knows everything in the land with the music, the stories, and the sound on Harmony Street.
Ladies and gentlemen, as much a part of Philadelphia as Tasty Cake
and Soft Pretzel,
it's the Geeter with the Heater, Jerry Blavitt,
on
WCGR Philadelphia.
Just let me hear some of the dark and the
music. Jerry Blavitt.
Really know the way you choose it.
You folks out there listening to the voice of the Geeter on WBGR Geeter Gold Radio, I know that most of you folks out there, you've got a day off from work. I know that you're home in the neighborhood listening to the greatest sound in this. Exactly 8 minutes past the hour, 1 o'clock, and of course, what a marvelous, marvelous, as my pal Billy Crystal would say, weekend it was in Philadelphia. You talk about people partying. If you were with us last night down there at the Aztec Club, what can I tell you? Mobbed and packed, and of course, I saw some old familiar faces. Angela was there, Rita Perry was there, little Petey was there, Phyllis was there. Oh, yes, the Father's Treats of the gang down there from Witten Street. Oh, last night with y'all two to get it down there at the Thomas Aztec Club. Rosario, I tell you, Rosario, you're a very lucky fella. Believe me. Hello to the gang from Continental, for my man Joe, for Lenny, and of course, indeed, for Gaten. Can't forget the fabulous setup. Get on with your big bad stuff, lady. Hailing from Detroit, Michigan. Written by the gentleman by the name of Don Colbert, who did The Pony and wrote some of the great things for the lady by the name of Aretha.
The home of the real oldies, Geeter Gold Radio.
Past the hour of 1 o'clock. Keep all loving me, and of course, how about Friday night? I tell you, the weather does not dampen any of the listeners' spirits and also their activities. We were dressed to Brooklyn, of course, for Kathy with the ponytail, for Bunny, and for Mario. The pleasure of your company. The pleasure of your company. Friday night, thank you for coming out to the Drexel Room. Girl, girl, girl. Teresa! And Teresa's lovely daughter in the gang from Witten Street. Girl, on our ski trip. I like that. I have the pleasure of your company right here at Geeter Gold Radio, WPGR. We're on my little thing every morning. From Philadelphia, 26 minutes past the hour, 1 o'clock on Geeter Gold WPGR, but the music just flows as fast as I possibly can hit my turntables. And of course, I'm going to go to the phone right now because on the line is the fabulous young lady by the name of Babe. Hello, Babe. How are you?
Hi, Jer. How are you?
All right, my baby. Are you enjoying your day off or are you working?
I'm off and I love it.
Oh, that's fabulous. What can I play for you, my baby?
Supreme.
Which one?
Geeter Gold Radio. The music, the memory, the magic of Philadelphia.
Mama,
Yeah, stuff it up for Babe and her fabulous daughter. Get a go, Radio 1540 on the dial, WPGR. This is a request, this is Danny, for the gang down there. Hi, sir. Rosario, you're a lucky fella, honest. Diana Ross!
And Jerry, a while ago, it's been a long while ago, mm-hmm. you played a record called When I Return.
Oh, my goodness, yeah, but Tony Williams.
Yes.
Would you like to hear that, too?
Yes.
All right, pretty lady. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye, pretty lady. Bye-bye.
This is the Geeter. They call me the big boss to the big cat sauce, and you're on the go with one of the hottest radio shows in town. My man, Mike Miller, with the Harmony Street Sound. This is the man with the plan to make sure that you know everything about the music that's a part of our band.
The Real Billy Gold.
1540 AM.
Geeter Gold Radio.
I said, Doug,
the mean, boom, boom, LJ, they really taste good to me.
Oh, 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 Doug,
the mean, boom, boom, LJ. Oh, won't you take a drink with me? And it's a good, good wine. It really makes me feel so fine.
So fine, so fine, so fine.
Well, I went to the store when they opened up the door. I said, please, please, please give me some more.
White port lemon juice.
Oh, 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 oh. White port lemon juice.
White port lemon juice.
Mm, white port lemon juice. Ooh, what'll do to you? The dove is a white, the bee is a port, L is a lemon, and the G is juice.
White port lemon juice.
Oh, 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 oh. White port lemon juice.
White port lemon juice.
White port lemon juice. Ooh, what'll do to you? I feel so fine. I've got plenty loving and I've got plenty wine.
White port lemon juice.
Oh, 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 oh. White port lemon juice.
White port lemon juice.
White port lemon juice. Ooh, what'll do to you?
You, 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 you.
Well,
white port lemon juice. White port lemon juice. White port lemon juice.
You know, it's hard to believe that 43 years ago, that was like the hottest commercial in New York City with a fellow by the name of Alan Freed. It began as a minute commercial. White port or lemon juice. And, of course, so popular was the commercial that the record company from the West Coast, Music City, put together the whole thing and made a record out of it. Hanging out with y'all, True to the Geeter, 26 minutes past the hour, 3 o'clock. And, of course, don't forget tonight. Hey, if you're dancing, you're definitely invited to come on by to the Geeter Gold Record Hop down there at Ziggy's Lounge. Airport Marriott, located down there on Island Road. And, of course, is there a young lady by the name of? In the audience?
Dorothy, flip me, baby.
Dorothy, my love. Dorothy.
Whirl me, baby.
Dorothy, my love. I love you. You love me. That's the way part of me.
Oh, dip, 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 dip.
Dorothy. Your sweetness are mine.
Dorothy.
This is sweet as wine. I feel your touch. I love you so much.
Dorothy, Dorothy.
Dorothy, my love.
Before cellular phones, there was the Geeter. 1540 Geeter Gold Radio.
Oh,
you to the Geeter with the Heater and the fabulous young lady by the name of Alberta. I know you asked me yesterday to play a pretty lady. I forgot, but in keeping with what we're doing with the Great Street Corner Harmony Sound up until 5 o'clock, I figured I would throw it in today.
I want to
kisses,
none of them true.
Now
care if it's scratchy, it certainly is catchy. 1540 Geeter Gold Radio, and you're all tuned to the Geeter, the Fabulous Cupplace, and I send it out for the Fabulous Young Lady by the name of Marianne Grandy. There is a place right now in South Philadelphia, down there at front in Oregon, that I got to tell you folks about. And the weather is just wonderful. If you get a yen for probably the best pork sandwich in the entire cotton picking world on a half a loaf of bread, or a roast beef sandwich on a half a loaf of bread with the provolone for the combination, you know I'm going to tell you about the folks down there, Tony Luke's. When you talk about sandwiches to perfection, and when you talk about cooked fresh, and that's the great thing about all of the sponsors here, I can attest to, because at one time or another I have been to their locations and their spots. And when you talk about a nice day just cruising up and down Oregon Avenue, if you're on I-95, if you like to take a couple of sandwiches home tonight, I suggest you pick up on my buddies down there, Tony Luke's. There's Tony Luke Sr., there's Tony Luke Jr., and of course there's Nikki. They've got the wives working there. It's a wonderful spot. You don't have to worry about parking. You can right over there, jump in, jump out. Tony Luke's.
Geeter Gold Radio.
Let's go for a ride.
Let's go for a ride, my dear. The night is warm and clear. Watch, come and sit right here.
Please don't say no.
Let's go back. Let's turn back the hands of time. Now, you do know, by the way, that you got to change the clocks tomorrow night. Actually, 2 o'clock in the morning, you change the clocks, right? But let's change the clocks right now. Let's go back to maybe like when you were a senior or a junior or a sophomore, maybe even a freshman in high school. At 2:15 on a day like today, you would have been out of school, right? And on a pretty day like today, if it were warm like today, well, you'd be putting a convertible top down, right? And you'd all be in your car going up and down Broad Street. Now, I say Broad Street because it's South Philadelphia, where I was born, you see. But this happened in all the neighborhoods, in Germantown or up in Frankfurt Avenue. And then you start to harmonize, and one guy would start like this. And then one cat would break out.
Oh, little girl of mine. You sure look fine. Yes, you appeal to me.
Well, now I know.
Let me do the harmony part.
Now, it's also interesting because when you talk about harmony, there were a lot of great, great, great pieces of material that were classic pieces of material. And, of course, I played for you this particular song. I played it by Etta James. I played it by Donna Washington. And I also played it, the original goes way, way back with the harp tones. But this is the, well, I'll play it for you, and you'll understand when I say the upbeat version. It starts off very slow, and then it goes up to a certain tempo. And it's a wonderful version of a song called Sunday Kind of Love.
I'm through with my old love.
I loved her through and through.
I'm
searching for a new love. Can that new love be you?
I want a Sunday kind of love. Heaven holy. On a square and on a road that leads nowhere, I would love to have on a Sunday kind of love. I'm through my Sunday dreaming with all my Sunday scheming, every minute, every hour, every day. Sunday
kind of love.
One of the great writers, by the way, the participator, the fellow by the name of Louis Freeman. Of course, many versions, but the great street corner version, that one by the Dell Vikings, and of course, indeed, the one by the Harptones.
Success is often measured in terms of longevity, and the Triangle Tavern, 10th and Reed Streets in South Philadelphia, is one of the leaders of the pack. See for yourself why they've lasted 60 years. Triangle Tavern, 10th and Reed, South Philadelphia. Time to turn back your clocks. And while you're changing your time, we're changing the times of our lineup to make it bigger and better.
60 seconds make 1 minute. 60 minutes make 1 hour.
Peter Gold Record.
At Ziggy's Lounge at the Airport Marriott.
Only for you.
And only from 1540.
Peter Gold Radio.
With 50,000 watts of the real Geeter Gold sound. This is
WPGR Philadelphia.
Hot dog, my baby's coming home. 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 Got a letter the other day. Said she was coming home today. Hot dog, my man, it's that good news.
Hot dog, she was meant to be. Shoes, cream, macaroni.
Friday afternoon, of course, don't forget tonight, Ziggy's Lounge, and of course, don't forget tomorrow night, I'll be in South Philadelphia. Yeah, and of course, your mother will be a part of the thing down there at the Swanson Club. Huh? get a T, get an E, better get an R, and of course, Adam Apostrophe, get the S, and of course, you've got the fabulous blisters. 6 minutes past the hour, 4 o'clock, and as I did say, tomorrow night we will be in South Philadelphia. As a matter of fact, a stone's throw from where the Gita went to hear to the boss of Big Cats was born. I was born down there in South Philadelphia, around what, 17th and 17th, actually 1906 South Bancroft. Of course, I'm going to the other end of the street. I'm going to the second street around Swanson, right? Swanson Club tomorrow night. Incidentally, when you talk about great things that came out of Philadelphia, interesting, because the kids at Wagner's picked this up. A song by the group called the Versatones. And, of course, everybody said...
Drifting away. nothing I could do, nothing to say. We looked into each other's eyes and found a lonely thoroughfare on Harmony Street. Open up your heart, recall how it used to be. Remember all the love we found on Harmony Street. Open up your heart, recall how it used to be. Remember all the love we found on Harmony Street. Hi
everyone, this is Mike Miller from the Harmony Street Show. I'd like to invite you to come along with us on the Malt Shop Memories Cruise. 7 nights and 8 days, October 27th through November 3rd, 2012. Return with us to those great days. Along with us will be Dion.
I wonder why I love you like I do. Is it because I think you love me too?
Frankie Avalon.
Venus, if you will, please send a little girl for me to thrill. A girl who wants my kisses and my arms, a girl with all the charms of you.
Bobby Rydell.
Oh, wild one, I'm gonna tame you down now.
Tame you down.
Ronnie Spector. Darlene Love.
Today I met the boy I'm gonna marry. He's all I've wanted all my life and even more.
The Original Drifters.
Dance with me. Oh, hold me closer. Closer and closer. Much closer. While the music swings. Oh, my little darling, won't you dance with me?
The Dupree's.
Why? Don't you believe me? It's you I adore.
Sonny Turner, the former lead singer of the Platters.
With this ring, I promise I'll always love you, always love you.
The Fabulous Carl Gardner's Coasters.
Don't hold back.
Kenny Vance and the Planetones.
Girl in my dreams, where are you?
The Chiffons.
He's so fine. Wish he were mine.
The Times.
Then your lips cling to mine. It's wonderful, wonderful.
The Marvelettes.
My baby must be a magician. Coffee shoes.
John Cuse and the Excellence.
You're my Coney Island baby. Means so much to me. You're my pretty little lady. I love.
And many, many more of our favorite stars singing our favorite tunes. The host for the evening will be the Geeter with the Heater, Mr. Jerry Blavitt. Cruise on Holland America from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Turks and Caicos. San Juan, Puerto Rico, St. Thomas, and Half Moon Cay. Come along with us. Relive the magical Malt Shop days. Sail with the stars and bring back those great memories. Malt Shop Memories, for a lifetime of memories, call 877-700-MALT. That's 877-700-6258. Or visit www.maltshopcruise.com. MaltShopCruise.com. Better sign up now. The Malt Shop Memories Cruise is selling out fast, so you better hurry. Don't miss the boat.